when things kind of flow together, and that last song that we had there is kind of really what I'm preaching on. I couldn't have picked a better song for to lead into our message for today. And this is the day that we celebrate our risen Lord, Jesus Christ. And on this day, many of us will remember the story of Jesus and his betrayal by Judas. We'll remember that he was arrested and he was tried several times. He had went before different people, and Pilate found no fault in him, deserving of death. But when the time came, we remember that the people and the religious leaders, they demanded Jesus' death. And so Pilate ordered his guards to take Jesus and crucify him. But if that wasn't enough, we remember that Jesus first underwent a scourging, and that is to be whipped severely. And such a whipping was fatal for many people who endured it. But then we also remember that after that, Jesus was then forced to carry his cross, at least for a little while, until he could carry it no longer. And he was led away to Golgotha, where he was crucified. His moment, his hour had come. He fulfilled his purpose when he died on the cross. If you were here last week, remember John 12:23. I shared that passage with you last week. And it says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit.'" After his death, there would be a resurrection from the dead, and then he would be seated next to the Father in heaven at his glorification. But the hour had come for his death when he went to the cross. He paid the price for our sins, for your sins and for mine. John 19:30 says, "Jesus said, 'It is finished.' With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." Those three words, "it is finished," means he had completed his Father's will. And in last week's message, we saw that Jesus prayed several times that the Father would take this cup, that this moment would be taken from him. Or also Jesus prayed not his own will be done, but his Father's will be done. And so Jesus went to the cross, and it is finished. Jesus was buried, and on the third day after his burial, Jesus rose from the dead, just like he said. He said he would, and he did. And that's what we celebrate on Easter. We celebrate his resurrection. And there are many Easters that I will preach on the resurrection, but I'm not going to preach that today. I'm going to preach on his return. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, digital devices, whatever you may have, if you turn with me to Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 3, and I'll be reading a good portion out of there. If you don't have that, I'll have it up on the screen. You can read along there if you'd like. Acts 1, 3 through 11. After his suffering, after suffering on the cross and the whipping and all the other stuff, and then this is after his resurrection as well. So after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." The gift of the Holy Spirit was promised to not only have a portion of the Holy Spirit, but Jesus promised that it would be given, that people would be given an overflowing portion. To be immersed in the Spirit, or better stated, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus instructed his followers to wait for in Jerusalem. And that baptism in the Spirit began on the day of Pentecost. But the portion of the passage that I'm looking at today is that last part. We see two angels is what we would conclude by these men dressed in white. These two angels asked, as they're standing there, "Why are you looking into the sky?" The same Jesus who has been taken into heaven will come back in the same way. Jesus will return. There is a moment set. There is an hour set for his return. Though Jesus himself doesn't know the hour, the Father does. And it's been set. Mark 13, 32 through 33 says, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come." It's kind of interesting sometimes watching the news and different things. You'll have someone say that they have the day that Jesus is going to return. They've looked through the Bible and they've calculated all these things, and they'll tell us the day that Jesus is going to return. Well, I think this passage right here kind of takes care of that, doesn't it? No one knows the day or the time. Not even Jesus. Not even the angels. When we look at the return of Christ, we will see a common theme. A common theme over a number of different passages that we'll look at, that when referring to the return of Jesus, is to be ready. Here we see that we're to be on guard, we're to be alert, because Christ could come in a blink of an eye. Let's read on in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. Chapter 24, verse 37. "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will return. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." be alert. Be ready. Jesus could come at any moment. But what is it to be ready? To be ready is to be living each day in faith of Jesus Christ, serving the Lord, ready for Him to return at any moment. You see, in this world, there's many distractions. There are many things that want to take our attention away from Christ. Satan's pretty good about that. And as long as you're distracted about this over here, you're not going to be focused on Christ over here. For some people, they think, I have time. I can look to Jesus, or I can go look to a church, or I can think about religion later in life. But for now, I'm going to do whatever I want. Jesus is addressing that very thing in verse 48 of chapter 24. Turn with me there. Matthew 24, verse 48. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place of the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, the person who thinks they have time to do whatever they want is what Jesus is really referring to as the wicked servant. And Jesus makes it clear that there will be an hour, there will be a time that this wicked servant is not expecting to meet or see the master. You see, when we bring that into the context of us, our master is Jesus. Our master is Jesus. In this passage here, that meeting didn't go well for the one who thought they could do whatever they want while the master was away. That servant will be sent to a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we know this is a common description of hell. This is a description of hell, a place of eternal torment. But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. This is a warning. This is a call to be ready. We have our moment now to put our faith in Jesus Christ and to follow Him. So that when Jesus returns, when He calls us, we will be welcomed. We'll be embraced. Not because of the things that we're doing or not doing. It's because Jesus has given us the gift of eternal life if we faithfully trust in Him and receive His gift of salvation. But we must also walk in His ways. This is contrary to living in this world. But the warning is, be ready. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. You see, we might die without notice. I'm not even guaranteed the rest of today. That's the reality of living in this broken world. Some of us might die suddenly. Others might go have long lives. But if we go back to Matthew 24:40, I want to point out something. Matthew 24:40, and I've already read it, but I'm going to read this portion again. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. When we read this, understand that Jesus is returning and we get a glimpse of a rapture. Rapture is not a term found in the Bible, but the concept is clearly stated. Rapture is to carry away. And this is what, and in this context, is to carry away the faithful believers who are still alive. I'm not going to get into a whole lot of details about the rapture. We see in different areas of Scripture that that the rapture is going to take place. We also know that in Revelation there's going to be 7 years of judgment or tribulation. Is the rapture going to happen before? Is it going to be happening in the middle? Is it happen after? I'm not going to get into that. And it's something that many churches will fight over. But if we do that, we really miss the point. The point is, be ready. The point is, be on guard. We're told that Jesus could return at any moment. There's going to be a time when people are going about their daily lives, living each day as they always do, and all of a sudden, one will be taken and the other will be left. The one taken was ready and faithful to Jesus. The other one that was left, maybe they rejected Christ. Maybe they thought they would have time to embrace Him later on. Maybe they believed that they were just a good enough person and they didn't need Jesus. Maybe they thought they could just embrace good feelings and that would be enough. Maybe they thought Jesus was outdated and not progressive enough. I could go into a lot of different scenarios, but one is taken, the other is left. One was ready, one was faithful and was walking with Christ, knowing Him and being known by Him. One was taken to their heavenly reward and the other was left behind. Do you know if you will be the one taken or the one left? You see, walking the line of being a follower of Jesus to live kind of following Christ and kind of not, that's dangerous ground. Is it your desire to live a life worthy of Christ? Now, we all make mistakes. None of us are perfect, so we can clear that up right now. I've made a lot of mistakes. We all do. And Jesus's grace covers us. But at your heart, in your heart, are you desiring to be with Christ? Are you desiring to be more like Him? Those are the questions to think about. And if you think attending church, I love church, I love this. But if you think just attending church is enough, it's not. Having a relationship with Jesus Christ is what matters. And in that relationship, you will find that gathering together with other believers is important. But just coming and attending won't save you. Only Jesus can do that. Are you ready? I'd like to read another passage out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Encourage each other with these words. It is encouraging to know that whether we die first or we are still alive, the Lord will bring us to Himself in a special moment. It is there that we often differentiate rapture from the second coming that ushers in the final judgment. We who are still alive will be taken up to be with the Lord before He descends to the earth for that final judgment. In the next passage I'm going to read, we will see that when we join Christ in the air, that we'll be given heavenly bodies equipped to last forever. I'd like to read 1 Corinthians 15:51. Listen, I tell you a mystery. I like how he words that first. This is the Apostle Paul writing this. I tell you a mystery. It's because what he's about to say is something that the followers of Christ, they struggled with understanding. And so Paul is bringing clarification to what he's about to say. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is in the Lord is not in vain. This passage helps us to see that when Christ calls us home with the trumpet, that we will rise to meet Him. We will be given an imperishable and immortal bodies. Death will no longer be a thing. Pain, muscles, ligaments, aches, it's not going to be a thing anymore. I'm looking forward to that. I really am. When Jesus is our Lord, He has given us the final victory. But at the end, we come first full circle. Until that time, be ready. Stand firm in your faith. Yes, we have much to look forward to, and it's exciting to think of Christ's return. And I know that many generations have anticipated the return of Christ. Many of my past relatives thought certainly Jesus was returning in their lifetime. I know my grandparents, they thought for sure Jesus is returning. And I think the generations before them, for sure Jesus has got to be returning. We look in the state of our world today and we think, Jesus has got to be returning. It might be easy for some, though, to think all these generations thought He was returning and He didn't. Maybe Jesus is going to wait another 1,000 years. Maybe. I don't think so. In fact, I want to be like my relatives in the past, anticipating His imminent return. I want to be like that. Because if I'm anticipating His imminent return, then I'll be ready. But I will also be living each day as if it might just be a little longer. That way I'm ready. I'm standing firm in my faith and giving of myself to the work of the Lord and laboring in the Lord until the time He returns or He calls me home through death. Either way, I'm going to be ready. You see, the hour is coming. The hour is coming We're not guaranteed tomorrow. The hour's coming. Are you ready? And that's the question I'll leave you with.